That was No Easy Road to Freedom by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And apparently it is no easy road to freedom, even for erstwhile Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcasting dads like the man we have on the line right now.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hey, Robert.
This sounds like Skidmark Bob to me.
Sounds like him to me, too.
So,
Since you deal with civil rights for the poor and the poor working class, which is what I am, I had a little incident yesterday with the Santa Cruz police.
Uh-huh.
Namely, Officer Garner, and of course backed up by Sergeant Sanders.
Let me, of course, give a little background. Officer Garner is the officer who threw to the ground Steve Argue for mm-hmm. selling a Street Spirit newspaper.
Oh, yes.
In a perfectly legal manner in front of New Leaf, had him hauled off in handcuffs, taken to jail, held for 3 days on felony charges, and then mysteriously the charges disappeared. And of course, Officer Garner, rather than being suspended or possibly prosecuted for violating civil rights under color of law, is still on the streets, and apparently he approached you yesterday at the post office?
Yeah, so me and my son just spent a wonderful day going out hiking in the woods and came back to the city.
How old is your son?
My son's 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
Went to go check my mail at the post office here, and it was about 2 in the afternoon or so, and as I'm leaving the post office, I got my mail, and I was done reading it, and so I decided to, like most people do, put it in the trash can, and as I was putting it in the trash can, I noticed there were some magazines in there, and I thought, let's see what these are, you know, maybe I might be interested in it. Looked at them. I don't want to. Start walking away with my kid, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hold it right there!" And I turned around, and I see Officer Garner and Sergeant Sanders headed my way. And I go, "They can't be talking to me." So I continued walking. He said, "Stop right there!" And I said, "What's the problem, officer? I mean, what's your problem?" And he said, "Let me tell you something. I saw you digging in that trash can." "Excuse me, I was throwing my mail out, and let me go prove it to you. I'm going to go get my mail out and show you it has my name on it." So I started walking toward the trash can, and then he threatened me with arrest. He said, "Hold it right there. I'm going to arrest you and take your child to CPS. And I said, "Wait a minute, officer. I'm trying to prove what I was doing was throwing out a piece of garbage, which I'm supposed to do." And so he told me he jumped off his bike and almost dropped his bike and was all furious and everything, and I was pretty pissed myself.
Naturally, I must interrupt you, Skidmark.
Uh-huh.
Sergeant Sanders immediately told the officer that this was inappropriate behavior, certainly a waste of time, even if there were some legitimate concern, and even if you had been looking for something in the trash can, you didn't leave a bunch of litter behind, did you?
No. Uh-huh. I kept all my litter in its proper place. And, you know,
so Sergeant Sanders immediately disciplined Officer Garner and told him to go about his business, right?
Not quite. I was there and I said, "This is bullshit. You can't be doing this to me." And Sergeant Sanders' words were, "You're entitled to your opinion." So at that, he hopped off his bike and showed me his little card that he has in his ticket book that I was digging through a dumpster. Scavenging is what it was.
Mm.
And I said, "No, that's on the side of a dumpster. Every dumpster that I've gone to and scavenged through and when I was poor says no scavenging, keep out, and trespassing, blah, blah, blah. But these trash cans, you know, the little green ones are out in front of the post office, they don't say anything on them, you know. And as far as I know, anybody could, like, pull something out of there."
Mm-hmm.
But he said it was a health and safety code violation and that he was going to cite me, and I said, "Well, go ahead." And then he decided not to cite me, and I said, "Yeah, it's because you'll lose in court, obviously." And
he's getting such a record here.
He demanded my name, and I said, "You know my name," so I gave him my name very slowly so he wouldn't make a mistake.
He does seem to have problems with these ordinances. Yeah.
Yes, he does. So then he called me in and ran me for warrants, and of course, if I had any kind of warrant, like say a camping violation or something, they would have taken me to jail and taken my kid from me and taken him to CPS. But luckily, I was code 4 on my warrant check, and he said, "Have a nice day," and I said, "Fuck you, asshole," and that was my opinion being entitled to, by the way.
Indeed.
And I said, "I will be filing a complaint, and your sergeant as well. I'm going to be filing a complaint against the sergeant and Officer Garner for stopping me." You know, I mean, they went way out of their way, and it was obviously harassment because they know, you know, you've seen me around before.
Well, tell me a bit about Officer Garner. I know that he had this incident with Steve Argue, apparently that stemmed from a previous incident where Argue sort of commented publicly that he was hurting a man he was handcuffing in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz.
Oh yeah, I was there for that incident.
Tell me about that incident.
There was a guy that was there, and he was sitting in a bench. He wasn't bothering anybody, he wasn't being loud, although he was drinking in public. And Officer Garner came up and decided to arrest him for that.
Is this an obviously, apparently homeless-looking man or raggedy kind of guy?
He is a homeless man. I've seen him around before. And so he said he was going to arrest him because he was drunk in public. Guy wasn't making any noise until the officer decided to throw the cuffs on him. Mm-hmm. And then he tweaked the cuffs pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And so Steve had a couple words to say, and then he got right in Steve's face and told him that he'd be, you know, interfering.
Steve Argue had been watching this incident with the homeless man, saw the cuffs being put on too tight, and complained about it, right?
Yes. Which, you know, is, you can do that, mm-hmm. you know. He wasn't interfering. Mm-hmm. Threatened him with arrest for interfering. I was there observing, and I think the reason why he didn't, I don't know what's up with Officer Garner, but, you know, he seems to have a real problem with people that like to speak their mind or, you know, that have any affiliation with activism at all. He seems to lash out at him. He also did it to Dan Hopkins. I was talking to Dan today and telling him about Officer Garner, and he told me that he was pulled over for, he was riding his bike down the Cooper Street there, the wrong way.
Right.
Sometimes they open it up, sometimes they close it. It's not really clear, mm-hmm. you know. So he stopped him, warned him, and then he had his headphones on his neck, right? Mm-hmm. And then he, like, yelled at him, told him, and you better keep your headphones on your neck and not on your head because it's illegal. And it's like, well, they are on my neck, officer. They've been on my neck. I haven't had them on my head.
I think the real pain in the neck is something else, though.
Yes. But, yeah, I just, you know, here he is threatening to take my child away, and if they even tried to do that, they would have one hell of a physical fight, that's for sure.
I understand. It seems to me this is another dimension of the whole sleeping ban situation we haven't gotten into. I mean, there are warrants, for instance, out for 5 people for sleeping ban violations, presumably.
Uh-huh.
I know one of them is for a man who tried to get to court. He got to the court date, and there was no court date there, but apparently they moved it down the road.
Uh-huh.
It's a man who lives in his van. He doesn't have any children, so
right.
That situation wouldn't happen to him, but let's suppose it happened to somebody with a child.
Right.
A failure to appear as you walk down the street with your child because you had to sleep at night. Does that mean the child goes to CPS and this whole destructive process begins in this sort of labyrinthine bureaucracy? It's really frightening.
I've had a situation like that happen, although I didn't get a warrant because they kept checking in on my ticket, and it was for one of my, you know, singing on the street tickets. And
you're a musician as well as a radio commentator.
Yes, well, yeah. But more of a father these days. But
singing, commenting father.
I was cited for unreasonable noise, and back in December, and I think it was 98 or something, and then I went to go find out about it, you know, after the 30 days, and it wasn't there. Then mysteriously, 6 months later, it pops up.
So yeah, this was 97, you were cited, and showed up in 98 sometime?
Yeah, I was 98. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, 6 months later, it finally shows up on the screen, you know, and you know, I could have just said, oh, well, the officer didn't file it, which happens a lot sometimes, but then the officers have their time, you know, they have this time to hold on to the ticket, and especially if they know who you are, and then decide to file it later on down the road. And then what happens, I would get a warrant, I'd be arrested, my child would be taken away from me if I happened to be, you know, somewhere where they decided to run warrants on me, which they have, because at times I listen to scanning devices and I hear them just run people's names for no reason, not stopping them. They don't stop them and then run them. They'll just run them because they know them. And they'll run them for warrants, and if they have a warrant, then they know this person has a warrant. They'll either bust them right there or wait until, you know, it's a
good time.
Well,
you know, this would be a legitimate process if we're talking about warrants for crimes against people, assaults, rapes, robberies perhaps. But, you know, you're talking about warrants for petty offenses that police
right.
then use to essentially, personally, can't pursue a kind of a private vendetta,
uh-huh.
peculiar campaign, which, I mean, it sounds like with Three Radio Santa Cruz, I know there was this concern with Sarah and, was it Jonah? Or Joshua?
Justin,
who, you know, were simply giving away t-shirts for mm-hmm. donations for Free Radio, which was done by all the political groups downtown.
Mm-hmm. V-Man, too, he won his case in court over that.
This, What about Grim Grip Garner, as I call him in the street shit sheet? Has he done anything else that you know of that we should know about?
Well, just to go back about the warrant issue, is that since, you know, if anybody could get a scanner and tune in to 154.770 and listen to the Santa Cruz police and hear them when they run someone for warrants and they find out they do have a warrant, if it's like, sir, for a camping violation or a muni code violation, something like that, most of the time it's ORable. Like, the officer can write a ticket out to you and then you have to promise to appear again and then go and do it. Of course, if you fail to appear a number of times, then of course it'll be non-ORable and they have to arrest you. But when it's ORable, it's up to the individual officer to either take you into custody or write you a ticket right there. And if they don't like you or if they have some kind of personal thing against you, then they'll just haul you in, you know, just to prove whatever, their manhood or something, I don't know.
To punish you.
Yes. Yes.
To cause you pain.
Yes. And my child was, you know, my child was kind of tormented by this whole thing. He was scared of these officers. And, you know, I teach him that police are AWA. Cops are AWA. And he understands that and he knows that. And it's ingrained in him because they are. They, you know, especially for people that like to have their opinion voiced out.
You know, I would say this is the basis for a lawsuit against the police department.
Yep.
And I would encourage you to talk to one of the local attorneys, one of the very few local attorneys who actually looks into this matter, and consider at least a lawsuit in small claims court for $5,000. Take your son in to get some sort of medical or psychological counseling.
Yeah.
And you know, get an opinion that this is frightened the child.
Yeah. And these men with guns that I pay for out of my taxes, you know, because I work, I'm a working class person, and I pay for these people, and they harass me for throwing my own garbage out. I don't understand. You know?
Well, I understand. It seems clear that they don't like your work as an activist, that Garner has psychological or moral problems, which should prohibit his being on active duty at this time.
Or sexual problems.
I don't know. Maybe he likes the way you look, and you've been rejecting him. That's, of course, a facetious comment. What I'm saying, though, is he clearly should not be doing this kind of work, and he's being endorsed in it by the sergeant who's with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that seems clear to me that you have an abusive process that isn't simply a few rogue cops.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be at least two. Is Sergeant Sanders notably unlike other sergeants? Is he more mean or hostile? What's your experience with him?
I know he has it out for me. He doesn't like me. I mean, ever since, like, when he started on the mall, and I'll show up with my tape recorder, like, take Halloween, when they're out busting all the drummers, of course, all the non-permitted events that were happening on the mall, like just people gathering and singing and dancing and drumming, and they come in and bust them up. I was there with my tape recorder, and I tape all the incidents, and that's where Garner actually put one and one together. That's where I was, and that's where Sergeant Sanders was. He didn't like me there at all, although I had a right to be there and observing what the police do, and everybody does and should. And that's, you know, I think that's his problem there. I've never had any problems, Sergeant Vogel, you know, Sergeant Crane, with the exception of Campbell Street. I've never had too many problems with these other officers. They're nice to me. I'm nice to them. If they're going to treat me like an asshole, I'm going to treat them like an asshole, you know. And like he said, I'm entitled to my opinion.
Indeed.
So I just wanted to give you that little police report. And, I wasn't doing it. I wasn't in the cop's face. I wasn't observing the police doing anything. I was merely walking away from a trash can, going home with my son after a wonderful day I had with him.
Or they were simply trying to do a preemptive strike on you to make sure that you didn't engage in any future obstructing of justice there.
Of course. Of course. I could have, you know, easily touched one of those magazines and then touched my child, and he would have, of course, died from the Black Plague, I'm sure. Health and safety reasons.
Well, I hope that you pursue this not simply with a complaint to the CPRB, who's, it's not their new number, but you can get their new number by dialing 429-6232.
Yeah.
Or is it 3262? Anyway, I'm getting a little confused on that one, but the CPRB should get your complaint, 3262, 429-3262. If you dial that number, you'll get a second number, which is the number to call, and you'll be able to go in from Monday through Thursday from 9 to 1 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's at 915 Cedar Street, and they'll help you file a complaint. Not that they'll do anything about the complaint, mind you.
My last complaint wasn't too promising.
You complained last time about something?
Yeah, well, I was arrested by CNET for merely standing there and watching them do their little operation in San Lorenzo Park, like all the ducks and the old people that are hanging out there, and they decided to grab me and arrest me for interfering with the police officer. And I didn't do anything. I was just standing there motionless, quiet. This is back in December.
Well, you were a form of sort of visual blight, which distracted the officer at a time
right.
when he desperately needed to observe people engaging in sales of illegal substances, which, as we know, is a major threat to our society. Or is it tobacco or alcohol?
Well,
I can never be sure which is the major
threat. It was more of an entrapment from another CNET officer that went in, and supposedly I didn't see any transaction happen, but... they arrested this gentleman that was sitting by the duck pond, and I stood like 20 feet away with my tape recorder in my hand, and they decided to arrest me and took all my equipment, my tape recorder, my scanner, and
it almost sounds like a pattern of harassment, doesn't it?
Well, I filed a complaint for unlawful arrest, and of course Steve Belcher and the CPRB didn't see it that way.
That's Chief Belcher, of course.
Yeah. Chief Belcher.
Yeah, I recently got a reply from the CPRB when I filed a complaint on behalf of Lloyd Lawrence, the elderly man who was, he was trying to catheter himself. He is a man with I guess it's a cancer problem or some sort of thing. He's an elderly fellow, lives in his van. He was doing a catheter thing at 2 in the morning, and the police banged on the back of his door, Officer Northrup it was,
right,
and dented the back of his door, ignored his disabled placard, threatened him to come out. Apparently this, according to Mr. Lawrence, has stemmed from an incident with Lawrence's son earlier in the evening, that Northrup did not go after any of the other vehicles around him, where other people were apparently sleeping or resting up on the west side, but just went after Lawrence. Lawrence explained the situation, but Northrup was very rude, you might say, and, you know, wrote him a ticket anyway and harassed him further. And I filed a complaint that this was completely inappropriate considering he was disabled, that he deserved an apology. And, of course, the Police Review Board found the complaint, it was either unfounded or exonerated. I'm not sure which. They both mean the same thing, that Chief Belcher's view of it, which was the same, was exactly correct.
Yeah.
Officer Northrup can go bang in the back of your door, damage your vehicle, arrest one of your elderly relatives for engaging in a medical procedure late at night under the sleeping ban, of course. And again, it seems the sleeping ban is a very useful law for officers like Northrup and possibly Officer Garner, although I can't really accuse him of misusing the sleeping ban. I haven't heard of any specific instances of that.
Well, as I've been told by certain officers that, like these ordinances, like, you know, sitting on a planner and all these kinds of things, that it's their tools. Their tools, because then they can come up to you and run you for warrants, and if you have a warrant from a camping ordinance, you go to jail. So, it, you know, and of course you're housed and fed in jail. You know, they're head cheese bologna sandwiches.
But actually, you may not make the cheese and bologna, because you may be sitting in the holding cell area with one shirt and one pair of pants on, freezing your ass off, and then
right.
released at 2 in the morning. So there's no guarantee you're going to go to jail in any kind of... you're not going to get any food there necessarily, or even a place to sleep.
Well, I just wanted to let you know about what happened to me. You know, I've been coming and keeping a low profile when it comes to the Santa Cruz police lately. And you know, I've been busy being a father and working and trying
what
to
get
rent.
What kind of work do you do, Bob?
I'd rather not get into that right now. Running guns for the Contras.
Oh, cool. But in the Vegas part, are you a service worker or are you a...
Service worker, you could say that.
A service worker.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll let you go back to work and to your fathering, and keep us advised of any further antics by the SCPD.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you in Santa Rita. See you in Santa Rita. We are going to jail.
Now I'm
tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. That was Carol Denny's See You in Santa Rita from Failure to Disperse. Santa Rita, of course, is a jail that serves Berkeley and the East Bay. And she was talking about what happened when the activists in People's Park stood up to say, no volleyball court, no expulsion of the homeless from a public park. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Roxanne.
Hey, Roxanne, a Beach Flats activist, a mom, and an opponent of the sleeping ban, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know, Robert. You know, your last caller, I might be turning around. You know, this felony recycling that the officers recognized instantly, and stuff, you know, this just might be the cause of the downfall of our whole society. People singing who aren't, you know,
unauthorized singing, it's pretty serious.
Unauthorized singing, isn't
a serious problem.
I mean, that has such a sinister ring.
Swap, singing without a permit.
Yeah. And I've become worried. I used to be on their side, but I'm beginning to think, you know, that this might be a real problem.
Well, I'm glad that you you understand that you're not one of these bleeding heart liberal types that's going to defend every unshaven bum in town, man.
No, and just think that how that child might have benefited from a visit to CPS.
Well, it's true, you know.
I mean, while his dad is reading magazines out of the garbage, he admitted it himself.
Right.
Just imagine, I mean, that child's life, you know. I mean, he might have had such a valuable experience riding in a car and sitting in an office for 3 hours till they could find a foster parent for him.
It would have been a free ride-along and an additional dad. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, dad and their kids don't ride together.
Well,
to separate them immediately because, after all, dad was felony recycling.
Felony recycling.
So, you know, and that child, you know, they would have found an emergency foster parent for him, and then dad would have had to go to court and get him back. He would have had to prove he was a fit dad, even though he wasn't doing anything that was unfit to his child.
Well, felony recycling.
Well, he is a despicable role model, but, you know, I mean, and he's probably unauthorized singing in front of that child, too.
Well, singing is another question. Yeah.
You know, but he's probably done it all.
Well, provided he has had the lyrics properly reviewed by the police association, I would say that would be okay.
I don't know what this world's coming to, Robert.
Well, Roxanne, we missed you at the last task force meeting, but perhaps...
That's why you missed me, Robert. It is a task force.
Indeedy. Well, yeah, it is. Actually, there's some talk. I think David Silva and others may be getting together a meeting of people actually who really want to change the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance in some parts of the city and also set up some decent shelters for people and to do it, not simply to talk about it. We may have to squat a building. We may have to, you know, with some people who cannot afford to risk arrest, but they could be supportive from a distance, perhaps, who knows, you might fall into that category.
What I think is happening is that since even agency people are very upset with the city council's lack of action, is that now they're really talking about shelter.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me, because they completely missed the point about civil rights. Completely. So now their idea is that if they provide more shelter, they'll be doing a good thing. And they will, but it's not what people asked for. They asked for their civil rights back. So they're still missing the point on purpose, you know?
Well, you know, I think that no matter how much shelter they're going to try to get together, they cannot deal with the huge number of people that are going to be out on the streets as of March 15th, which is when the Armory funding ends and the Armory closes, although they may be able to get funding for another month if they work hard. The Armories will close by April 30th.
But they're very comfortable with that. They admit that there's not enough services.
Right.
And that they can't fill them. That was one of the first things that they said, was that, you know, there'll never be enough services. We just have to face that. So that got them off the hook right away.
Well,
So 20 new beds, maybe they would feel was a real coup. That's not what we're thinking, but...
No, of course. I mean, again, what they think is sort of a never land kind of thinking. Politicians usually inhabit never land. But I'm thinking of, you know, we need some. Got to turn down your radio, cutie. How's that?
Sorry, I walked in the kitchen where the radio was.
Yes, we have a we try to squeal to the masses. But you know, the there is some talk about doing a sleep-in on the 23rd of February, and for those who can't sleep in, to be supportive of it outside with signs and so forth. Because I think this really combines both the issues of civil rights and shelter. I mean, it's going to be clear on the 23rd that they're not going to do anything. That's when the report will come back to the city council, where there will simply, oh, I don't know, maybe they'll lessen the hours, perhaps. So even that might not get anywhere. Maybe they've made a few small word changes. But there were three significant proposals that were brought up which weren't really discussed. One of them was, I already mentioned, the sleeping ban repeal initiative, which said repeal the sleeping ban sections of the camping ordinance in non-beachfront, non-residential, non-downtown areas, or even just in a specific industrial zone or two. That wasn't even talked about. There was another proposal by Attorney Kate Wells that, given the recent rash of troll busting, that there should be an immediate action to allow the city council to declare a camping event in either Harvey West or the San Lorenzo Benchlands, so older homeless people and women with children or whatever, just homeless people who are afraid of their safety, afraid of getting their heads kicked in at night by these young punks, will have a place to go. That wasn't, of course, even brought up or put on the agenda or mentioned by Chris Crone or Keith Sugar or Mike Rotkin or Michael Hernandez, all those great defenders of civil rights, socialism, Latinos, what you will, environmentalists. And then the third proposal was Keith Sugar's own proposal, which came from established policy now in Florida, South Florida, which is they shall not arrest people in several Florida towns for homelessness or sleeping or putting up a tent, a whole bunch of other so-called life-sustaining crimes, unless they have a shelter bed available. I mean, that would be an additional piece of language.
But what if they do have a shelter bed, Robert? You know,
oh,
even
I agree.
Though there's no chance, you know, because shelter is at a premium. What I don't understand is, you know, I worked for FEMA after the earthquake, and we had people who probably have never gone inside again. They were so traumatized by the earthquake, what happened to their homes. They just lost it. I'd have to interview them outside the building for them to be comfortable. They couldn't be closed in anymore.
Uh-huh.
A lot of those people are living outdoors now. They have been traumatized beyond, you know, anything that they ever thought would happen. It was a significant event in their life that changed their lives completely.
Uh-huh.
And so, what if there is a shelter bed? What if you're a person who won't ever go inside again? There are all kinds of things, and I personally don't think counseling will fix a lot of the problems.
Uh-huh.
You know, they seem to be thinking that there are solutions to all of this, but there really isn't.
Right.
You know?
Well, the only reason I mention this, and I agree with you, is because I'm pointing out that these three other proposals that really are substantive proposals, they may not be the best, and I agree with you. I don't think you should have to sacrifice civil rights.
Well, I only bring it up to the listeners who may wonder why people choose to live outdoors.
Right. Well, the only reason I brought these three up was to show that the task force is so either in a bumbling or arrogant in its, or just indifferent in its processes, that they didn't even talk about these proposals. I mean, you would have thought they would have talked about them and voted them down, talked about them and voted them up, disagreed, given some reasons, but no, not a word. And the reason is that the most sensible proposals, they don't want to have a public airing of those.
Yeah, they haven't entertained anything that I've seen brought up. Any suggestion has just been met with a stony look.
And also, there's no voting going on. There's no, you know, process by which council members Sugar and Crone could express a different view and take a different posture and recommend a different thing than Catherine. It's all Catherine Byers, Mayor Byers. It's all her little dog and pony show. She does what she wants.
Well, except that they're big boys.
They're her big boys.
They're big boys.
Yeah.
I'm holding them responsible. I'm not holding Catherine.
Oh no! I mean, I'm not either. What I'm saying is that they have the opportunity. They have the political power to stand up and simply state a different position. They don't even have to be rude or disrespectful. I'm sure they can properly say, well, Mayor Byers has her view, but we have our views, and we'd like a vote on this in the committee. And then if the whole city council doesn't agree with us, well, that's how it goes. That's what they do in Congress. You know, that's what they do in other legislative bodies. There are differences of opinion. It isn't all decided by, you know, Mama Byers in the back room, and then she comes in and announces her decision without any reasons and without any debate in the task force hearing. I mean, that to me, it's not just that they're making the wrong decisions. Is it they're abusing the process in the way that they criticized Rodkin and Hernandez and Kennedy and all the old, bad, old guard in the way they did in the beach area situation. So
yeah, it's been much, you can't tell the difference between the old city council and the new, really.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in, Roxanne. Is there more that we should hear from you before we let you go back to washing the dishes?
No, I guess I just want to state for the record that things are going really not well, and I really thank you for showing up.
Hey, and thank you for being a part of that process. I think that you know, your voice was really instrumental, and your organizing skills around the beach flats were important in stopping that giveaway and that serious attack on the home situations of many, many poor people.
And well, many of the things that we've heard said about the homeless at meetings that were anti-homeless, excuse me, if you would have inserted the word black or Jew in those
woman
diatribes, they would have been absolutely unacceptable. And so I am tired of seeing people who are already disenfranchised treated like nothing, and things are okay to be said about them, as they were in our beach flats fight. I mean, people called us all kinds of racist names and slum dwellers and everything. It's just very interesting that language is allowed publicly without someone saying, hey, you can't say that, you know?
Well, you know, in order to add fuel to the fire, I'm now going to play for you a section of a KSCO discussion of the camping ordinance by people who favor keeping it on Steve Hartman's show.
Great, Robert.
You're going to get to hear that now, and we hope that will...
High blood pressure on Valentine's Day, huh?
It's a sort of a special Valentine to give you heartburn.
Yeah, really?
So
okay.
Stay tuned.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Through the Greenbelt, through not widening Highway 17 or Highway 1 so that traffic can get home at night or get to work in the morning. We've tried to isolate ourselves. So we have this, imagine this fence around the city of Santa Cruz, okay? And as part of that fence is a camping ban. And the camping ban law is, at this moment, a locked gate. But if you change the camping ban and get rid of it, you unlock the gate and open it. And if you open it, they will come. Without money, without real positive contributions to bring forth to our community,
mm-hmm.
but rather to come here and park,
it's been compassion,
to use our services, our niceness, your liberalness.
Right. Compassionate liberalism, that's
what. And it's going to cause a lot of problems. But that is merely a hypothetical supposition on my part. Let's get back to Norma and find out if she wants to wrap this up. And John and Soquel, I see you. And Sid and Capitola, I see you as well. Our lines are jammed, folks. And if you want to try getting in, 477-1340 or *1080. Where are you, Norma?
I'm here.
There you are, little darling.
You know, I had a friend that used to work down here, a lady I knew. She worked down here in Felton, and then she disappeared for a while. And then I saw her again, her and her husband, Joe. In the meantime, she'd gotten married. Well, she said they were homeless for a while down in Santa Cruz. And all these people that you see with these signs saying, you know, I need money for food, she says these people stand out there and they get money, and then at night they party hardly with their drugs and their alcohol. They don't use the money to go rent a motel room or, you know, Now, Benz, we have beaches and we have sidewalks and streets and stuff. Why can't the county take these people, put them to work cleaning the trash up that everybody throws on the ground, and maybe fill in some of the potholes in the road for room and board?
So you're saying work for welfare.
Well, you know, I have to work to eat. Otherwise, I don't get to eat.
I think that's a good idea. There are a lot of, you see a lot of them standing in shopping centers with signs, we'll work for food, but I think they know you're not really going to take them home because typically take strangers home.
We were in Santa Cruz one time on Pacific Garden Mall, and this guy wanted some money.
Right.
And so my husband says, I tell you what, we gave him our card. We said, you come up to our place tomorrow, and we'll put you to work.
Never saw him, did you?
And we offered him $10 an hour, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll come up and work for you
me
for $10.
You want to know something? Never seen him again. Not hide no hair of him. So anyway,
Trisha, you would have fun up at Norma's place.
Norma, thank you.
You could play in sawdust all day long.
And we always have a coffee pot on.
That's true.
That's true.
And a cigarette for them that smoke.
No, we don't smoke no more.
Oh, you are so good. I wish I had it.
I'm free, but I only have another 10 years and one...
A normal concept.
And then I'm going to start smoking again.
Thank you so much, Norma.
You guys have a nice weekend.
Thank you so much. That was Norma in Felton. Now, folks, you know, now that we've got a line open here, I would love to have someone call in who supports dropping the camping ban. Let's not make this a one-sided deal. If you are a person who supports dropping the camping ban, tell my producer so that they will know, and we'll get you on the air here. 477-1340, 477-1340. Piece of cake. Let's move on to the next call. It's 21 and a half minutes before 2 o'clock here at AM 1340 KLMY. We're going to go to John in SoCal. Good afternoon, John. Welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Hartman and guest. Is this going to be a permanent guest thing, I hope?
It is going to be a permanent. She is not a guest. She is, Martha is a co-host.
All right, Martha. My name's John.
Hi, John.
And she will be starting her own program, 11 to 12, on Friday.
I'm staying with Steve, too, though. I'm going to be here from 11 to 12 doing my own show.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll be joining Steve from 12 to 2.
Well, good. Stick your paddle in there and stir it up good.
You know, Trisha, we like to do nooners on our program.
Yeah.
So now we're just going to throw in a little Steve and Martha or S&M with our nooners. What's on your mind, John?
Well, if I may, with your permission, change just the direction of this a little bit. I wanted to do a little reporting for you and tell you about a proposal that I have. Yesterday, I attended a...
And I'm afraid we didn't get too much of the lifting the camping ordinance, as Steve Hartman seems to have picked up from Mayor Byers. That discussion, actually, there was more of it before that cut, and I apologize for all the in-house schmoozing on KSCO. Actually, I like Steve Hartman as a person. He's not a bad man. He's had me on his show. He definitely does not agree with me, or nor I with him on this issue. However, He was a behind-the-scene potato supplier for homeless people when they were serving food at the town clock. He believes homeless people should be fed, and that's to his credit. Well, let's turn now to some really interesting interviews that I had just a few days ago at the Homeless Services Center. That's the Homeless Community Resource Center as one of those services. And it's around 15 to 8, and you'll hear some interesting perspectives from folks on the street, actually in the center.
Okay, it's February 12, 1998. It's around 15 to 8. I'm at the Homeless Services Center freezing my feet off, and I'm talking to...
Lindy Long.
And Lindy, you just came down from the Armory tonight?
No, I was at a church group.
So you were at the Armory the other night?
Yes.
So that was on Wednesday night?
Correct.
And what happened up there?
They announced that Huff was coming up and was going to interview some people about the homeless situation, and they took a vote of hands. Sugar did. She goes, you want him to come up here and do it, or do you want him to do it down at the yard? And everybody said, the people that knew you pretty much says, yeah, bring him up here, he's good people. And everybody else said, let's do it down at the yard. And I said, well, the people down at the yard aren't necessarily at the armory. And anyway, they took a vote of hands and said, do it down here.
Really? How many, what was about the numbers?
About 10 or 15 wanted you to come up there. And the rest didn't want to be bothered because they thought you were coming that night and they had no idea who you were.
Do you think that the case was presented fairly? Did Sugar present the case, or did somebody else present it?
Sugar just mentioned your name in some interviews. Didn't say anything about what it was about or who you were affiliated with.
I see. Did you feel that was a fair presentation?
No. I know who you are, and I wanted you to come up there.
She didn't mention, what she mentioned was about violence against homeless people. Did she mention that?
No.
Did she mention that we had
She mentioned that before about the troll busters,
right.
But not that evening or at that time.
And you're listening to an interview I had with a man who'd used the armory. This we're referring, of course, to an incident that happened several days before when Becky Johnson and I drove up to the armory after the task force meeting where we had some soup left over. There'd actually been we'd had a press conference at the meeting and talked about how the task force didn't seem to be doing anything, and the whole thing needed to be really aired in a direct way. We had a lot of soup left, and we also had a man who had previously been a monitor, who actually was a monitor at different times during the week, Billy Godwin, who wanted to ride up to the armory. And we'd also been told at the by the task force that they wanted specific information about troll busting, that is to say, about the hate crime assaults on homeless people. Because the next day, Tuesday, there was going to be a city council meeting. And we had asked them to put an emergency measure on the agenda that said the city council can sponsor a camping event and they can open up one of the parks for people to go to who are afraid of this kind of violence. And naturally, of course, it didn't get on the agenda, but we needed to get more direct information from homeless people at the armory. When we showed up, we didn't bring the soup in. We simply walked in. Billy got a ride up there from us around 8 o'clock. People were still up. Those mats look pretty thin, I got to tell you. And it looked fairly crowded. I wasn't bed to bed, but it wasn't real spacious. And we were immediately approached by, I believe, Papa John and Sugar, the two personnel up there, and they told us we had to leave. And I said, why? You know, what's the problem? Where's the rule that says we have to leave? And there was no apparent rule. People there wanted to talk to us. We had some leftover soup. You know, it's still hot. It's good. It's vegetarian. People up here don't get much food. Get out of here. We're calling the police. We also explained we wanted to talk about troll busting, about the fact that we needed to get reports from people before the city council met the next day. We didn't want to hear that. You're leaving. And they called over the sergeant, and they called over the security guard, and they... taken away, and eventually we did get the hot water restored to the armory. Sometimes you have to do that kind of thing in a vivid way in order to get some kind of real response. But I was not in the mood for it at the moment, and I had other things I was doing, and so I didn't stay for the bust, and we left. And you're hearing the conversation the next day, and Karen Gillette, who runs the armory, was completely out of her office. We continued to call her, we called Mike Bustos in order to get them to forward reports on troll busting. They didn't even return our calls. They apparently didn't pick them up because nobody came in on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we heard from Karen Gillette that, well, if you want to go to the armory, that's fine, no problem. You just have to make sure that someone doesn't object. That sounded strange because I'm sure that there's always going to be someone who might object. Does that mean that that you can't go into the armory and sleep there at night if someone objects? You know, that doesn't sound right. What I may do is I may just go into the armory and sleep there, and if people want to come over and talk to me, they can. I'll engage in normal association with people, and if they make...